Great. And love the music. Love that song and the message behind it. Let's take our Bibles tonight in the book of Joshua and go to the Old Testament, the book of Joshua. And I want to share something with you as we're going to read this this text here in Joshua chapter 14. It's about Caleb and about Joshua. You know, every once in a while you're reading along in the Bible and there'll be certain people that'll stand head and shoulders above the others. And I often wonder, you know, what the spies that went in and spied out the land of Canaan, what made Joshua and what made Caleb different than the other 10? You know, and I was thinking the other day, my daughter called and she said, hey, Dad, she goes, Matt and I are going to take the kids into Bay City, and they're my three of my grandchildren. We're going to ride the bike trails on the river walk along the river in Bay City. You go up one side and cross the North Bridge and come back down through the other side, and it's a pretty good hike up through there. And so my granddaughter, Michaela, she's going to be 13. Matter of fact, she's got a big birthday. She's going to be a teenager, so that's a big step in her life. And she come stayed at the house the other day for about 3 days and to help my wife and do some things. And so that's a big step for her to become a teenager. And so Michaela, she is, you know, she's going to be 13 years old. And so far, she's got a 4.0 GPA all the way through school from kindergarten. And going into eighth grade. And so I said, Kayla, how long do you think you're going to be able to keep that up? She goes, right on through college, as far as I know. She goes, I don't have any plans to stop. She is just one smart kid. She didn't get it from me, I know that. But she must have got it from her grandmother and from Nana, whatever. But she's a really good kid. So she, you know, so we go in, and then I got a Cole, the middle boy. You know, I always figure he's going to be the cautious. He's the, I don't know, I always razz him. You're going to be an engineer someday. You got to analyze everything. You got to look at it. You're real cautious, you know. You got to wait, and you know. And then comes little Brayden. Brayden just turned 7. And why I'm telling you all this, because we're getting ready to go on a bike ride, and I'm riding bikes with all three of these grandkids. Now, Brayden, he is one of those guys that is all in or all out. I mean, if you're going bike riding, and we rode all afternoon up there in Bay City, he was right on my tail, right behind me. He knew he couldn't go in front of me. Faster, Papa, faster, you know, going. And I mean, we're sailing. He's just one little, you know, he's just go, all in. And no matter what you're doing, if you're playing baseball, if you're playing golf, if you're doing whatever, he's just a really go-getter. And so when I think about this in the Bible, there's a verse that jumps out that I think that made Caleb and Joshua pretty unique. And the verse is found here in verse 8. It says, "But I wholly followed the Lord my God." Now let's pick up the text here, reading in chapter 14 and verse 1. And you know, we try to encourage all of our kids and our grandchildren that no matter what you do, wholly follow the Lord. Be all in for God. Be all in for Him, and follow the Lord, and just follow His footsteps, and that, and the importance of living the Christian life. And so, you know, it's really important that I think that kids and children and teenagers and young people grow up and understand that. And I think here it's one of the things that separated. And in the tribes, when they went in to possess the land, you got to keep in mind the setting here, the 12 tribes. They get to Canaan. Now, you know, Moses has passed off the scene, Joshua and Caleb, but they've gone in and viewing out the land. Now they're getting ready to receive their inheritance, that which is their due. The land is divided. And I've often wondered and thought about in the Bible, you know, what has separated out, what has separated the 10 spies that went into the land versus here's Joshua and Caleb who went and viewed the land. They all looked at the same thing. They all analyzed the same scenario. They all looked at the land and then took the report back to Moses and said, no, there's giants in the land. There's too much enemy there. We can't conquer the enemy. We'll be defeated. And they didn't believe. And so what God did simply is He said, okay, then you're going to wait and you're going to wander in the wilderness until this unbelieving generation passes off the scene. And then those that believe, those by faith, those that trust God, that wholly follow the Lord, then those will go in and inherit the promised land. And so that's exactly what they did. So look at the inheritance at Caleb. I just love Caleb. It's a great Bible name, but look at this in verse 1. "And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, and which Eleazar the priest," Joshua 14:1, "and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of Israel, distributed for inheritance to them. by lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. He says that Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and a half tribe on the other side, that'd be east side of Jordan. But unto the Levites, the priestly tribe, he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save the cities to dwell in, with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. And then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Now this is what separates Caleb from the other spies. Nevertheless, in verse 8, my brethren, that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. In other words, they lacked faith. They were afraid. They had fear. But Caleb says, I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely, the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thy inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years he waited, even since the Lord spake the word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness because of their unbelief. They didn't believe God. They didn't wholly follow the Lord. And now, lo, I am this day now. Notice Caleb says, I'm 85 years old. You know how old that is? It's 85. Now think about this. Here's a man. He waited 45 years to get his inheritance. He wholly followed the Lord. He saw the same thing the other 10 spies saw. And they back there in verse 8 it said, and the heart of the people did melt. They didn't see what Caleb saw. Caleb saw something different. He followed the Lord. And notice what he says in verse 11. At 85 he says, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. And now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced, and if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. And Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. So this man, Caleb, was quite a unique Bible character. Joshua 14 is really all about Joshua inheriting Hebron. The other day, you know, Fox News does a Fox News special, and you can flip out, not on the Fox regular Fox channel, but you can go over to another station, and they were showing a thing yesterday that had to do with Israel and had to do with Judah and Samaria and Hebron. And I thought, and I listened to it for a little bit, and I thought, how interesting is that? And it was talking about some of the history and the biblical history that's here in the city of Hebron. So here Joshua, you know, Joshua is one of these historical books, and he was for years known as the number two man under Moses. He was the follower. He really wasn't the leader. Moses was the leader. And so, you know, I've always heard said, you'll never be a good follower, you'll never be a good leader until you can be a good follower. If you want to be a good leader, you got to learn how to be a good follower first. And Caleb set that example. So many times people think, well, you know, you want to be in whatever spot it is. No, you know, I think of men like, right now I think we have a great vice president. And he's a good man, stands on a lot of character and integrity and things, but he's a follower. He's not the president. But he's a good man. Wouldn't surprise me someday if he becomes president of the United States. I would vote for him in a heartbeat. And Mike Pence. And I see today he was preaching at First Baptist Church in Dallas today for Dr. Jeffries down there. So So when you look at Joshua, his name means Jehovah saves, the Lord is salvation, and it corresponds with the name of the Lord Jesus. And God delivered Israel in Joshua's day when he was personally present as the saving commander who fought really on Israel's behalf. Joshua, when you look at Joshua here in the book of Joshua, he was born in Egyptian slavery, trained under Moses, and by God's choice then rose to a key position, then leading Israel into the promised land of Canaan. And Joshua served the Lord. He was a soldier. He was a scout. He made supplication to the Lord. And Joshua and Caleb had this reputation: I wholly followed the Lord my God. So it's kind of like, you know, and you think of the illustration I do, I think of my grandchildren. We have eight grandchildren. We have three in Florida, two down in North Carolina, and three here in Michigan. And, you know, and I think about that, and I think little Braden, I've got another little grandson, Kyler, down in Jacksonville. And you want to flip the house upside down, get them all eight together, and turn Kyler and Braden loose. It's like Katie bar the door. It's like, you know, it's like a whirlwind coming, and so it's just fun to kind of watch them hang out together as cousins. That doesn't happen very often, but interesting, they're all in whatever they're doing, fully consumed. I think here Caleb and Joshua were all in by faith, wholly following the Lord. There wasn't any fence straddling. There wasn't any lack of faith. There wasn't any, well, I'm not sure about that, and I'm not sure about that. No, they were all in together. Joshua served the Lord. And when Moses passed the baton of leadership onto Joshua before Moses died, Israel was at the end of that 40-year wilderness wandering period in the Old Testament. And then Joshua led Israel then to drive out the Canaanites and then divide the land among the 12 tribes and the inhabitants of Israel. Then, you know what began to happen? The inhabitants of Israel continued on a moral decline at that time and began to worship many of the gods that were around them. You know, if you really think about it today, you know, without good, strong leadership in a lot of areas, in the churches, in the country, in the nation will go awry and it'll begin to serve other things, other gods, other things that are not the Lord God Almighty. And it's not Judeo-Christian beliefs and the system that we believe in. And so when you look at it today, it's important that we get our country, get our nation. It's no wonder where a lot of things that are going on today, you begin to remove God out of this and God out of that and God out of the things around the country and the nation, and you desecrate the flag. And I don't know about you, now I see a lot of the things going on with the statutes. And you know, they can do all that they want, but you know what? You're not going to destroy history. You're not going to destroy American history. That stuff is all recorded in the history books. You can all go to the library, and it's all recorded in the library. So the American history, good, bad, and ugly, is all there for the next generation to be able to see. But Joshua, you know what Joshua and Caleb was in their generation? They were a difference maker. Why? They wholly followed the Lord. You know, I miss Dick Hook. And Dick was deacon emeritus here and served as deacon many years. But oftentimes, you know, I don't know how many meetings I've been in with Dick, and Dick wouldn't say 2 cents worth. He wouldn't say two words. Other than sometimes, if you ask him something, he'd say, well, why don't we just trust the Lord or follow the Lord? When it come right down to it, and a lot of times if he and I were out making visits or whatever, he'd be a sounding board for me, and, hey, Dick, what do you think about this? And it was always, you know what it would always come back around to? Trust the Lord. Holy, follow the Lord. You don't always have all the answers. You always don't see the way clear. But you, by faith, you move forward, and that's what Joshua and Caleb, that's what made them different. God wanted Israel to possess the land, to keep his promises, and then to set the stage for later developments in the kingdom plan here, Israel, for the events of the kings and the prophets and for the nation of Israel as they went in to possess the land. One thing that's interesting about Joshua that I think was interesting was predictability. He was predictable, as Caleb was. I read this the other day. John Gardner, a United States cabinet member under President Johnson, once pointed out that by their mid-30s, think about this, by their mid-30s, most people have stopped acquiring new skills and new attitudes and aspects of their lives. By that meaning, you know what, life should be always be an education. Life should always be about learning. I always get a chuckle out of it because every time I go to my son-in-law's house, he's pulled up some other YouTube video of how to do this. Now he's remodeling his basement. And I said, Matt, how'd you learn how to do this? Or how'd you learn how? He said, well, YouTube's got everything on it. You just put it on, plug it in, see how they do it, go down in the basement, and go to work. And so he didn't have any of that skill set before. So a lot of it nowadays is just learning and being adventurous to step out, figure out what it is, no matter what you're tackling. And, you know, it's a sad thing. We should always be willing to learn. And think about that thought if you're over, tonight, if you're sitting here and you're over 30 years of age. How long has it been since you acquired a new skill? Think about that. How many attitudes have you adopted? Or are you compelled to approach a problem the same way every time? Or even a wild idea or challenge? Or do you retreat back into your comfort zone and where you're comfortable? And or you lose that enthusiastic zeal of discovery, of adventure, and getting outside of yourself. There's a whole world of things to learn. And so living and learning go hand in hand. Existing and expiring also go hand in hand. If you think about that, so constant curiosity and probing inquisitiveness of preschoolers make every day completely fresh and exciting. To them, learning is natural, and sometimes I think, you know, we get to a point in life, we say, you know what, I've learned is I'm good where I'm at. I don't need to learn anymore. That's a dangerous place to be. I think we need to push ourselves, and some say, well, that's just the way I am. You ever hear that? I got relatives like that down Ohio. Well, that's just the way I am. That's, you know, and I cannot change. And then if you say that, then you're limiting yourself, and you're discounting the power of God and denying His presence. Anybody can change. We all can change. And think about how to be better than who you are. And God's offering an abundant life, and to realize that we don't have to just take the status quo. We can wholly follow the Lord and that. And so when you look at it, you know, so did you ever notice this sometimes? If a problem crops up in life and you don't approach it the right way or handle it the right way, sometimes that same problem, that same issue might come up again because you haven't learned the life lesson through it or whatever, and you're going to go through that scenario one more time. So really, life is all about an education process when you think of it, to broaden ourselves and to realize, and like Caleb here, think about this. He was 85 years old. Now, you look at it and you say, well, that was in Bible day. Yeah, I understand that. But he was saying here he was 40 when all that went down in Kadesh Barnea, and then he spent the prime years of his life wandering in the wilderness on the backside of the desert waiting on God. But he had wholly followed the Lord. Now at 85, he's ready to tackle some challenges. And so, you know, still growing when he grabbed the challenge of the future. And boy, it was a challenge of the future that for him. And at a time when the ease and comfort of retirement seemed predictable here for Caleb, he fearlessly went forward. Joshua 14 gives us a little bit about his life, and determined to keep the predictability from setting up around you. We should always be wanting to learn and to push and to read and to get outside of ourselves and push ourselves forward. Caleb did exactly that very thing. When you look at his life, look in Joshua 14 here again, his inheritance. In verse 1, the inheritance in the land of Canaan, the land west of the river Jordan, that land was distributed for the inheritance. In verse 2, 3, and 4, 9.5 of the tribes settled on the two and a half tribes settled on the west, Manasseh and Ephraim. The Levites got no inheritance at all. And so when you look at verse 5 there, it says, and as the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. And so they obeyed in some things, but not in all things. Look at it in go back to chapter 13. It says, now Joshua was old, in Joshua 13:1, Joshua was old and stricken in years. The Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. And so when you look at when Joshua allotted the areas for the individuals and the tribes, they bore a challenge to drive out the resistors, to drive out the Canaanites, to drive out those. And if they disobeyed God, then they suffered the consequences. And failure to do that, it's a sad thing, but failure to do this thoroughly becomes true when you look over in Judges. You go over to Judges chapter 1. We won't have time to look at that tonight, but when you go over and read Judges chapter 1, it's all about that. Here's what Israel did. They obeyed partially. Partial obedience. They drove out some, and went in to possess the land, but here Caleb and Joshua, go back to Numbers. Let me show you this in the book of Numbers chapter 13 when they spied out the land. You know, Caleb here, the passage reviews that it kind of goes back and recounts this in Numbers 13 when they did that. They took one from every tribe. You know, I think about this oftentimes, and I don't know about you, but I find every one of our, we had three children. Every one of them are different. Every one of them looks at life different. And then the grandchildren come along, every one of them are different, and they each look through a different set of lens. And I often think here when they went in to spy out the land in Numbers chapter 13, they sent men in to search and to spy out one from every tribe. They took one ruler from each tribe. They took 40 days and to spy out the land. Look at it in verse 25. And they returning from searching of the land for 40 days. And then they went and they, in verse 26, came to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, brought back word unto them and all the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. Here's the fruit of Canaan. Verse 27, they told him, they said, we came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, I don't know about you, but whenever you see that word nevertheless in the Bible, it's like a red flag. It's like caution, beware. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled, very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And then Caleb, notice this now, look who steps up. Verse 30. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and we were in their sight. So you look at it, it depends on what lens you're looking through. And so here they came, they bring that report back to Moses, and I love what he says, let us steal the people, let us go at once and possess the land. He looked at it through a lens of faith. He looked at it that wholly following the Lord. He looked at it that we can do this no matter what the obstacles are, no matter what the difficulty is, no matter what the struggle is, no matter how hard it is, we can do this. I like that kind of faith. I like that kind of exception. And when you look at it here, I think the thing, as I said, the thing that separates him is the fact that he wholly followed the Lord. He was all in, Joshua and Caleb. Now, when you look at Numbers 14, there in the next chapter, the 14th chapter, at Kadesh Barnea, you know what Kadesh Barnea is? It's a land of unbelief. Look at it in chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation, here's Israel, all the congregation lifted up their voice, and cried, the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. What a way to look at a problem. Verse 3, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto the land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? Remember what Egypt represents? Egypt always represents the way of the world, the way of going the wrong way. Would to God we would return to Egypt. Would to God, the road's too hard, so would to God, we'll just turn and go back out into the world. Now, that's not what they're to do. Verse 5, then Moses and Aaron, notice this now, fell on their faces before all the assembly and the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, here it is now, here's Joshua again, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them, searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, Notice this now. Listen to this carefully. How long will this provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make thee of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. So basically, you know what God was saying here? He said, I'll leave them in the wilderness until this generation passes away. We'll raise up another generation that has faith and believe in God and a holy follows the Lord. And it's that generation that went in and possessed the land. So Numbers 14, this unbelief turned to murmuring against Moses and Aaron. And you know what they want to do? They want to go back to Egypt. They want to go back where it's, you know, down there. You know, even though we were slaves and we were in a land, we had food to eat. Life wasn't hard. And Joshua tried to get Israel not to rebel against God. They wanted to stone. Think about that. They wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb for wholly following the Lord. But God here smites Israel and disinherits them. Look at it in verse 10. Then Caleb, when he was 85 years old at this time, and in our text, Caleb was 40 years old at the time of Kadesh Barnea, prime of his career. And the Israelites had now wandered in the wilderness 40 years, and the conquering of the land took 7 years. So Caleb, now being 85 years old, God here, based on that promise in verse 9, God granted Caleb's desire for Hebron because of his faithfulness to believe that God would give the land to the Israelites as he promised that he would. So God gives Hebron to Caleb as requested, and it calls it Kirjath Arba. Arba was this great man of the end. So here's the conclusion. When you think about Caleb, when you think about Joshua, there's a lot of things that I think we can glean from it today. Oh, that we would have all of us that are here tonight and more of us that would wholly follow the Lord. That would be the text that we would take out of here. That you wholly follow the Lord, that you have faith in the positive, and to realize that God can do all things and God can supply all of our needs, even in the most challenging of times and even in the most evil of days. And I don't know about you, but as I travel from week to week here lately, there's been a lot of fear and panic and not sure what the future holds and not sure how things are going to play out, what's going to happen to our country, our nation, what's going to, and that. And the only thing I can say to you is, wholly follow the Lord. Be like a Joshua and a Caleb. Don't give in to the fear. Don't give in to the anxiety. Don't give in to the, God is still on the throne. And there are still, we still need more Joshua and Calebs out there. That I don't know how it's all going to turn out. I do know this, God's on the throne, and he is in control, and nothing catches him by surprise. So my takeaway here on this text in the book of Joshua is Caleb, number one, learned how to be a good follower. Secondly, Caleb had total trust and confidence in God. I don't know if I ever told you how I learned how to swim. My father had a boat. Get this, it's a 14-foot fiberglass boat with a 35-horse Sea King motor on it. I'll never forget that. And my dad could not swim a lick. He couldn't swim from here to that first pew. So he buys this boat and decides the family's all going to go down to the lake. But my mom could swim, but none of the rest of us could swim. But I had an uncle down there, Eb McIntyre, my mom's sister's husband. So we're down there, and we're on this dock area or whatever, and the water there is about 30 feet. And so, I was just a little guy. And so he says, hey, Rick, have you ever learned how to swim yet? I was maybe like that. And I said, no. I said, my dad doesn't swim, and my sister doesn't swim. My mom can swim. She called it dog paddle or whatever. And so we're standing there on the dock, and you know what my uncle did? He went over and took his foot like this and kicked me in 35 feet of water. I had no life jacket on, no belt, no nothing. It was a swimming suit, and that was it, and in I go. And then he jumped in with me. So I'm coming up spitting and sputtering water and everything, and he looks at me and says, hey, today's your day. You're going to learn how to swim today. You get pushed in 35 feet of water, and then you're out there with your uncle. He's not going to let me drown, but that's that day I began to learn how to swim. So when you think of it, you got to learn to trust God. You got to learn to have confidence in him that no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the odds are, no matter what the fear or anxiety is, no matter what's going on, God is still in control. And we need more Joshua and Calebs that'll say, I'm going to wholly follow the Lord. I'm all in. I'm going to wholly follow Him and be committed to Him. And when many others around us begin to fall to the unbelief or fall into the fear and panic or fall into the uncertainties or fall into the, you know, I'm not so sure this is all going to turn out all right. No, God is still in control. Enjoy every day when you get up. Today is a great day. Get up and enjoy the day. Enjoy what God has given to you. Enjoy what God has put on your plate today, and tackle the day as just like any other day, that God today reigns supreme and He's on the throne. And I am going today to wholly follow the Lord my God and have the faith and the determination just like a Joshua and a Caleb. So Caleb here wholly followed the Lord. Joshua, and God blessed Caleb because of the faith and dedication to do the right thing. He wholly, wholly followed the Lord. Heavenly Father, God, we love You tonight. And Father, we thank You that we have the opportunity to have Bible characters like this in the Scripture, that in their generation, during the times of key things going on in their life and the events of their life and what's going on, that they determined to wholly follow You, to have confidence in You. Yes, there's enemies in the land, and yes, it looked like that they could have been defeated if You'd have listened to some of those that were surrounding them, and they began to complain against Moses and Aaron, and they began to get disgruntled. And God, I understand, reading according to the Bible, how You let that generation die off and then raised up a new generation to go in and inherit the promised land. So may we learn from the Joshua and Caleb and their life and their ministry and all that they do, that we need to have faith and we need to wholly follow You. And we ought not to live our lives in anxiety and fear and panic, and realize, God, that You are on the throne. And we need to trust You for victories, and we need to trust You for successes in life, and to realize that You absolutely, in all circumstances, have everything in control. And may we get up each and every day with a renewed strength and a renewed faith to walk in that faith in Jesus Christ and to have confidence in Him and to realize, God, that You are on the throne and we are trusting You for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.